Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church tonight. It's good to be back. Amen. We have looked forward to this for quite a while. And now we're here. And like preacher said, with 2 years of anticipation as we begin tonight, it's going to be over quickly. Amen. It just goes. And so that's why it's very important to try to get what we can while we can. Amen. I appreciate your prayers for us, and take your Bible and open it to Ezra chapter 9 tonight. Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 5. The Bible says this, "And at the evening sacrifice I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day." Sound familiar? These folks have got a mess. They had a good start, but they're in a mess. And that's what the preacher's talking about. I'm glad it doesn't stop there, though. Verse 8 says this, "And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondsmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage." That'd be a good place to say amen right there. "But hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem." Again, verse 8, "And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." That's our prayer this night, this week. Amen. Get a little reviving. Amen. So we'll preach out of that verse number 8 tonight. Let's pray again. Father, again, we come before the throne of grace, Lord, understanding full well that the only way we have access is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We pleaded tonight for this service, God, that Your will be done, that You'd be pleased, that Your people would be blessed, convicted, whatever they need. May Your Spirit have free course to do it. Lord God, I love You tonight and submit and commit to You and pray and ask, dear Lord God, You'd see fit to move in our midst. We pray it in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I was looking at this verse. Time passed. It says there, give us a little reviving, and I was putting together a message on revival, but as I read the verse and as I used the verse, I made a mental note that there's a lot of stuff in the verse. It looks to me like there's a message in and of itself within the verse, and here you're going to get it tonight. We're going to skip the rest of the introduction because I don't have any more. And just cut to the chase here and take the verse apart, if you will, and see what it has to say. It says now, in the beginning it says, "And now for a little space." Amen. We'll just stop right there and consider that for a moment. Amen. Now for a little space. Now listen, I could get out an 1828 dictionary and look up space, and I still wouldn't be able to do it as fast as some of you are going to do it on your telephone. Amen. Amen. Google it. Yeah, okay. When did Google become a verb? That's what I'm still trying to figure out. Amen. But we're not going to do it that way. We're just going to see what the Scripture says. We're just going to compare Scripture with Scripture. Let's take our Bible now and go over to go over to Revelation chapter 8 and see if we can't get an idea of what Ezra's talking about when he says, and now for a little space, let's just let the scripture define itself. Can we do that? All right, verse number 1, Revelation chapter 8 and verse number 1. And the Bible says this, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Amen. So Ezra not referring to God's space program. He is referring to an interval of time. And the verse here in Revelation gives us that definition, space of half an hour. Now let me say this before I move on. Some of our brethren have used this verse to try to prove, coupled with Galatians chapter 3, in verse 28, where it says there's no bond nor free, nor Greek, nor Jew, nor male, nor female. They try to use that as a definitive doctrinal verse to prove that there'll be no females in heaven. Because it says there's going to be silence for half an hour. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't say I believe that. I didn't say that. Hey, listen, if that's the case, there might not be any Baptists there. Amen. So I'm going to try to clean this up because, you know, I already know what happens when you say stuff like that. Some of you guys already got, put that checkbook away, Harold. I know how this goes. And but it says there in let me just say in Revelation 19, verse 9, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there's a picture of it in Luke chapter 14, and it's referred to as a great supper. And take it from me as an evangelist, I've been on the road 14 years, I know well who's going to be doing the cooking. Amen. The best cooks in the world. Come on. Baptist women. Somebody say amen. I don't think I did a very good job of cleaning that up based on that. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Let's go there. Let's keep trying. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. We're talking about, it says, and now for a little space. And a space is an interval of time. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. Let's look in verse 22. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, Jezebel is absolutely the wickedest woman in the entire Bible. And her testimony right there in Revelation chapter 2 is indicative of her. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 21. It says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication. Amen. As wicked as Jezebel was, amen, look what she did. Seduced the servants, had the servants of God, the people of God, murdered, amen, disrespected God in every way possible. Still, the Lord says, I gave her space to repent. Boy, I tell you what, if he give her space to repent, what could possibly be the holdup when it comes to giving us a space to repent? Absolutely nothing. He has. He does. And now for a little space, you know, the Bible is careful to record that she repented not. I'll tell you what, for the last however many thousand years right now, she knows she should have. She knows she could have. Amen. I'm happy to say tonight that he's giving you a space to repent too. And I hope you do. I hope you don't have the kind of regret she's going to have. Well, if you're saved, you won't, right? But we're talking about revival. And I tell you what, there's something going on. If there's something going on, I'm talking about between you and God, that needs to be repented of, that needs to be laid down in an old-fashioned altar. Beloved, tonight our desire, our prayer, and the best advice anybody could give you would be to do it and not have a testimony of walking out of here and leaving something undone Because God does want to move in our midst, and God does want us to our hearts, and God does want us to be cleaner vessels and more meat for the Master's use at the end of this night, let alone this week, than we are right now. So it says, and now for a little space, grace has been showed. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? And then it goes on to say, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God. You know, there's a lot of ways to get grace, but nothing compared to the grace we get from Him. Grace has been defined as free, unmerited favor and love of God. It's been called the application of Christ's righteousness to a sinner, and indeed it is. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20 says, and moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. This is where you help me out. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Thank God for grace tonight. Thank God. It says over there in Romans chapter 3, and we're well familiar with the verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the next verse says this, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Thank God tonight that grace has been showed from the Lord our God. It says in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. Hey, listen, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. In verse 9, it says not of works. Lest any man... it says not of works. Listen, if you're saved tonight, it wasn't of works. Listen, if you got something going good in your life, it's because of the grace of God. Thank God grace hath been showed from the Lord our God. Listen, it's never been, and it'll never be again, easier to get saved than now while it's salvation by grace through faith. Aren't you glad, amen, that God showed grace for you? Amen. Amen. And then it goes on to say this. And now for a little space, grace hath been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. Personally, I'm really glad that's in there. I'm really happy about the fact that the Bible has, teaches, contains a remnant principle. I like the idea of that. Let me give you a verse in Genesis chapter 6. Matter of fact, you turn there because you're staring at me like a calf looking at a new gate, and time for you to look at your Bible for a minute or something. Besides, I can get a drink there. See, if I was really thirsty, I'd have said turn to Nahum or something. But Genesis, you should be there by now. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, look at it, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And He's seeing that tonight. It goes on to saying that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I'm going to say this to you, beloved, tonight. We're not there yet. And we might be headed there. The Lord says it's going to get that way again, but we're not there yet. There's still some good folks around. There's still some good things going on. There's still some folks who the thoughts of their heart are not evil only, evil continually. Yeah, whatever it says. Evil only continually. That's a lot of superlatives. I think the Lord's trying to make a point there. It says in Luke 17 and 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. And then it says this, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now I'm going to tell you what that means. That means exactly what I said. And they were all destroyed. Every human being on the earth was destroyed when the flood came. But what do we know? there were 8 humans that weren't on the earth, that weren't destroyed. God left a remnant. He said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What made them special? They did what God said to do. And He spared them. And I'm glad there's a remnant principle. He always had a faithful few that regardless of what was going on, regardless of even every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, when everybody in the world but 4 men, fell into that category, they didn't, and God spared them. He always had a faithful few that refused to go with the flow. That's the crowd I want to be with. Listen, we know this, the world's getting more like the days of Noah every day. But that doesn't mean we have to. That doesn't mean we have to throw in the towel. We should say, well, what's the use? There's a great use. God spares the faithful. Amen. Listen. The testimony of the age in which we live is bad. But I don't intend to be counted in that crowd that says in their heart that to God that I have need of nothing. I have need of much, and I know what it is. And just by your presence here tonight, you've indicated you've got an idea what you need too. We need something from God. Just because Christianity is going apostate as fast as it can go doesn't mean you and I have to go. And I don't want to go. And I will not go quietly. Amen. What's so funny about that? I don't do anything quietly. So he says, now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. And I'm just glad that I don't have to fall into that category in Revelation 3, that we can hold fast. If there's anything we need to get a hold of in these last days, is we need to be holding fast. Amen. All right, now, it goes on to say this. And to give us a nail in His holy place. To give us a nail in His holy place. And I think about, boy, His holy place sometimes. Brother Stevens and I were talking about the marriage of the bride and the photos, the pictures that Dr. Ruckman's painted. And man, I got goosebumps sitting at that dinner table thinking about it. That book says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. We can't even comprehend within our own spirit how good it's going to be, that place that Jesus went to prepare for us. Amen? But it's fun thinking about sometimes. Amen? Longing for, looking for. Amen? It's not just a hope. It's a blessed hope. Amen? It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. And that's present tense. Amen. He said, and to give us a nail in His holy place. And I tell you what, I couldn't explain that verse to you, but I can believe it. You hear me? You got to have faith to believe that. Do you believe that? That book said, this is a quiet crowd. Is this normal or am I talking funny? Amen. I don't care. I'm going to go on anyway. But it says, let me say this. I'm looking forward to eternity and spending all that in His holy place, perfect place. But He does something for us down here. He gives us a little more than just that. He gives us a token of it now. What do you mean? Psalm 122 and verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, I thank God for the church. I thank God that He saw fit to pull me out of a jail cell over 20 years ago now and put me in a church where the preacher preached rightly dividing the word of truth for Sunday school every day for a year. And the year after that, why the King James Bible, the Word of God. Listen, I didn't become a Bible believer because I'm some great scholar, studier. God was just good to me like that. I thank God for local church. I thank God for the church family. Amen. I thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank God for people that will weep with you and rejoice with you and have enough sense to know when to do what. Amen. Listen, I travel around, I see places. People underestimate the importance of the church. I thank God for the church and the church family. I thank God for a haven of rest, a place we can escape to from the cares of this world. Listen, we must needs be here. And we're in it. Lord willing, we're not supposed to be of it. Some are of it. We can spot them pretty easy, actually. Amen. But thank God, if you men, you got to work out in that world. Amen. Some of you go to school on that world. We get exposed to the devil's language, the devil's music, people blowing smoke in your face, people, all that stuff, taking the Lord's name in vain. That's just how it is. But isn't it good to be able to go to a place where that doesn't happen? I tell you what, I love the being able to go to church, amen, just to get away. I look forward to it, amen. A place where we don't hear, that wasn't the devil's music that was sang about and played in here tonight, amen. I believe it honored the Lord. It spoke to my heart, amen. And nobody's going to blow smoke in your face in here, amen. I haven't preached in some churches where you might have to watch walking out the back door, but it ain't happening in here. Amen. You got to be careful in the Bible belt. Amen. It's another kind of belt too. Amen. 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 I like, man, when I was in the motorcycle gangs, we'd get a building, we'd buy a building, we'd paint the walls black. Why? Well, if you ever saw us with the lights on, you'd know why. Amen. And the place was dirty and filthy. Thank God for a clean place. Thank God for a place where the lights can be on. Thank God. Hey, thank God that nobody's taking the Lord's name in vain. Amen. Well, I like to add this too. Thank God you can come to a place where nobody's going to hit on your wife or your daughter. And if they do, we hit back. Yeah, I like saying that. Amen. Now, while some people, how it is Christians to get saved and get in a church that believes that book, preaches that book. You know, there's folks in other denominations that somewhere inside of them, they want the truth. And some of them are going to end up in Bible-believing churches sooner or later. Some of you came through some messes to get here. Amen. But what blows my mind is some of us that are blessed with the Word of God and the man of God that's preaching it. Amen. And then we show up when it doesn't conflict or sit at home and watch television while our church is having revival. That blows my mind. Amen. You got to be in your church every time it's meeting. I'm not just talking about this week. I'm talking about every time the Word of God's preached. You ought to be there. Hold on a second. Amen, Brother Spurgeon. Yeah, I'm telling you, I've learned to do this. Amen. I'll amen myself. Amen. That was good preaching. Listen, it says... See, I'm not like some of you. Some of you take yourself so seriously. I sit up here and I watch and I'm thinking, my. Boy, you need to take yourself a little less seriously and the Lord a little more seriously. You can have a good time getting something from God tonight, this week. Do I need to do it again? Amen. All right, it says in there, what did it say? And to give us a nail in his holy place, and I'm glad my name's in the book of life in his holy place. But I'm glad that I got a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio that I call home where I got a pastor and I got a church family that prays for us and sends us money occasionally, things like that. And I'm glad that I got friends, and I hope I got some friends here. It's too early to tell, I guess, but I hope so. I hope so. But verse doesn't stop there. It says, and give us a nail. No, it says how it's right. And give us a nail. And I start thinking about that. My dad was a carpenter. He was a carpenter before they had screw guns. Yeah. And air. He was a carpenter when they actually, I don't know if they still make them or not, but they used to have a thing. When I was a kid, they had a thing called nails. Yeah, does anybody still use nails? I mean, what are hammers for? I mean, do they still sell hammers? Amen. Are they all in the Music. Listen, my dad went on being with the Lord last year. God bless his heart. I love him. I had more liberty standing over his flag-draped coffin than some Baptist churches I preach in. Why? Because I know where he's at. Boy, my dad is my hero. He had a bicep this big. When he was 78 years old, he started doing push-ups. I said, Dad, what do you do that for? He said, oh, the back of my arms are getting flabby. Amen. He was 91 when he went home to be with the Lord. Still firing Colt 45, holding the grip with this finger, these two fingers, and pulling the trigger. Say, why would he do it like that? Well, he sawed them two off in the 50s. I don't know, something happened. My dad was a blessing. Well, my dad drove a nail. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever it was he joined together, it was secure. My Bible said he's given us a nail in his holy place. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're saved, you're standing in Jesus Christ is secure. Boy, that's a blessing to me. Amen. There's one thing I don't worry about when I get up in the morning. I don't worry if whether or not some deed or thought or word that came from me has cost me my place in His holy place. Boy, that makes it easier for me to get on my face and say, God, I'm sorry. I blew it again. Will you forgive me? I don't spend a moment worrying about going to hell. Those days are behind me. I thank God that my standing as a child of God is secure. Amen. Now, where to get mixed up, and this I have a reason to have authority in this area, where people get confused is that state. So it's just simple to me. Your standing never changes, but for example, 2 days ago I was in Iowa, and now I'm in Minnesota. My state changed. It's an evangelist verse. I've learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. See, that's where people get messed up. Your state as a Christian, based on your conduct, can change. Thank God your standing doesn't. And when your state changes, you can always turn around and go back to where you're supposed to be. I appreciate that. A nail in His holy place. Amen? Amen? You know, in Iowa, they made me this thing on a stick, and it had, and I would wave it, you know. I should have Brother Shaver mail it up here. Amen. No, I'm kidding with you. All right. It says this, that God may lighten our eyes. That God may lighten our eyes. It says this in John chapter 3 and 19, for this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Boy, I'll tell you what we need in this day and age, like Paul talked about over there in Acts 26, we need it. We need our eyes lightened. Amen. When I was a lost bike gang member, we'd ride around all day and stop and stop in bars, and you ride around out in the bright sun on a motorcycle all day, and you go into a, like I said, bars and places like that are real dark, and you go in and you can't see anything. Your pupils haven't adjusted, and when you got as many fights and stuff as we did, you'd go in and find a place with your back to the wall quick early on so nobody can get behind you, and you stand there for a few minutes and you start to look out over that place, and you know what happens? You begin to be able to see pretty good. You know why? Because your eyes get used to the dark. Boy, if you're in there long enough, your eyes get used to the dark. I'm going to tell you something. I travel around 12 months a year. I see this as we do. The testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ these days is this. Our eyes have gotten used to the spiritual darkness. What do we need a little reviving for? We need God to lighten our eyes to show us again the wickedness around us so we can see it for what it is. Quit tolerating it. Quit making excuses for it. We need God to lighten our eyes. You know what we need this week? We need God to lighten our eyes, maybe in some areas within our life. Amen. It may look pretty good compared to whoever you're comparing your walk with. But you're not to compare yourself with others. The Bible says that's not wise. We need to pray. We need to pray. You've been fasting and praying. We need to ask God to lighten our eyes concerning some things in our own lives. This is for you. I hope Blessed Hope Baptist Church gets revived this week, but if it does, it's going to happen individually. And then when it's over, then we'll decide whether or not the church got moved. But if you think that something's going to happen here that you're going to get in on by osmosis, it doesn't work that way. All right, we desperately need, in this day and age where the wickedness is trying to get evil only continually, we need God to lighten our eyes and stand fast for the Word of God. He says, and give us a little reviving. That's what we're talking about. Just a little. Just a little to stay in the fight. Amen? It said in Psalm 138, verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Amen. Boy, does that describe the world? I get little blurbs in the news once in a while. It keeps me in amazement. Some of you that sit in front of the television half the day, man, I'm surprised you're not on medication. Amen. And if you are, I'm going to preach against that before it's over, and I ain't telling you. I ain't going to tell you what day either, so. But I tell you what, does that describe the world in which we live? And walk in the midst of trouble? But see, the psalmist recorded this, that trouble doesn't prevent revival. As a matter of fact, trouble usually is the ingredient that causes people to seek it. Boy, when America, everybody was doing real well. Boy, I tell you what, we'd preach, and then things kind of went bad for some folks. Financially and otherwise, what their confidence was shaken. What their confidence was in was shaken. And you know what? We've seen folks get right with God that needed to get right years ago. We've seen folks come to Christ because Christians started putting their confidence back in God and God's Word. Amen. The trouble has been a blessing and a help. We need to take advantage of it. We need to stay right with God. And we need to not just step back and point out what everybody else is doing wrong. We need to show them what the book says about how to do it right. That's what our country needs. I love my country. Amen. I know it's a mess. But I'll tell you what, I love my countrymen. I still think we can get some Americans to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's my burden. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. As King James Bible believers, we have heard the truth. We have feasted on the Word of truth, perhaps to the degree that we now take it for granted. Amen. That book says, to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Amen. I've seen Bible-believing Christianity change a bit in the 20 years I've been saved. And some of you have been saved a lot longer than that. Amen? What do you think? You know, just take a little poll. Think the change has been for the better? Think this side, 2,000 years, this side of Calvary, that the church of Jesus Christ is getting more spiritual? You think the trumpet that we long for is our reward for doing such a great job? If that's what you think, you need to turn the radio off and get back in your Bible. Because that's not what the rapture is doing. It's taking a church that's drawn nigh unto worthless out of here. But there's an opportunity in our midst. And it's an exciting opportunity. Amen? And God is still in the reviving business. What could mess that up? We let things slip. And we have. And that's why. Because you've got a flesh that doesn't care nothing about godliness. But you know, once in a while, God gives us a little parenthesis to get together and submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, so we can do a little self-examination. Maybe get some things back on track. Hey, if you're where you're supposed to be, hold fast, beloved. But if you're like me, you struggle with things. My pastor told me a long time ago that Christian life is like having a wheelbarrow full of water and ping pong balls. And you just try to hold down as many as you can. But something always keeps popping up. Maybe if he wouldn't have told me that, I wouldn't be experiencing that often. But I got a feeling that's the way it is. Amen? But God will give us a little reviving. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Amen? We need God to give us a little reviving again. All right, here's where I say last of all. I figured that'd get amen out of somebody. Getting out early. It says, in our bondage. In our bondage. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you're saved in here, I'm glad. Praise the Lord. But with all the promises and examples and warnings and truths from the precious Word of God, sad truth is we're still in bondage to a flesh that lusts against the Spirit of God, whose affections are contrary to the will of God, and really, bottom line, only wants to please itself. And even when something good comes out of it, it's because of an ulterior motive that's totally self-centered. Paul said it like this in chapter 7 and verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I am positive Joel Osteen does not use a King James Bible. Amen. I've never heard him preach. I've never even heard his little squeaky voice, but I don't want to either. But I get sick when I see that book with a grin. I refrain from talking about Benny Hinn and some of these guys, but that guy just... Ugh. Okay, I know. Paul says, I'll pray for him. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Here's what that means. If Paul struggled with his flesh, especially after 30 years of walking with the Lord and serving the Lord and suffering for the Lord and trusting in the Lord, if he didn't trust his flesh, how come you are? Yeah, it's really that simple. He says, O wretched man that I am. I know that's hard on your self-esteem, but it says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, that's a serious question. And he got a serious answer when he asked it, too. It said there in verse 25, Romans 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the deliverer. Amen? Back to our text, Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. Now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Again, our desire this week is for a little reviving. Amen? I tell you what, it's revived me. I've been here a couple days already. And it revived me to spend a little time with my dear friend, Brother Kyle. That's helped me. Amen? But I'll tell you what we need this week is a little reviving. And if you need a space to repent, he's given it. He's given you an opportunity. He's given you a chance to examine your own heart. He's given you a chance to do something about it. Amen? If everybody in the body of Christ was right with God, why would you need an evangelist? We could just sing all the time. We ain't there yet. We're going to get there one day. Amen. But if you've taken his grace for granted, thank God some grace has been showed from the Lord our God. But I've been guilty of taking it for granted. And I've repented of that. And if you've taken his grace for granted, we take the best God has to offer and then act like we're doing him a favor because we don't drink, or we don't smoke, or we come to church once in a while, or we don't, we just act like we're such a blessing to God. I'm going to tell you something. He went the distance for us. And we fail. And we need to ask him to forgive us. And he will. Just man falls seven times, but riseth up again. And if your flesh has been running the show, and I don't know, he did not brief me. It would take too long. I'd had to come last week. And I was somewhere else last week. But you know, you all look very nice to me, fine. I mean, if your flesh has been running the show, and you know it, whether it's a small area or a big one, you need to get that thing right. You need to get that thing right between you and God. You need to get that thing confessed. Amen? And that's what'll... there's a shot at revival if you'll do that. Confess it. Get up and go on for God. Amen? If you're not saved here tonight, he said you must be born again. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way so you could be. My little girl Abby told me one time, she quoted something out of her school book. She said, it's a dead, you can never get saved too soon. Boy, I wish I'd have got saved a little sooner. I wish I wouldn't have waited until I was almost 38. I wish I wouldn't have waited until I had such a boatload of garbage in my head I can't hardly close my eyes when I pray. That's just how it is. I'm not complaining. Nobody's fault. Nobody's getting into my head to dig back into my childhood to find somebody else to blame. That's what they do these days. Yeah, I made my own choices and made my own decisions. They were bad ones. And I'm the one that's got to live with it. But I wish I'd have got saved sooner. I wish I'd have got saved young like some of you. I wish I'd have sold out. I wish I'd have just lived for God. That's the best testimony there is. It really is. Amen? She said, Dad, you can never get saved too soon. Yeah, I said, yeah, it would have saved a lot of problems. She goes, no, that's not what I mean. She said, because you never know when it's going to be too late. That book says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. When we travel around, we were talking at dinner. I was in Tennessee 2 months ago and preaching a meeting one night. Saw a headline the next morning, 318 dead. Well, that was within about 50 miles of us. Tell you what, there's people that went to bed in Alabama last month that woke up in eternity. Didn't think they would. Weren't sick. Weren't acting crazy, risking their life. That's the way it is. And that's the way it might be for somebody in here tonight. If you're not saved, you don't have a promise you're going to get home. But you got a promise where you're going to spend eternity. And thank God it all just hinges on one thing, Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Amen? Don't wait until it's too late. Not too late now. Give us a little reviving. That's our desire. That's our prayer. You've been praying. People have been fasting. I know what God likes. And I didn't bring revival in that big old motorhome for you. But I know how you get God in here, and you've been doing those things. He's not the one playing hard to get. He'll meet with us if we'll respond to Him. Yes. Father, I love You tonight. Thank You for the liberty that I asked for. Pray that something that was said was a help and blessing to these precious folks tonight. Lord, if there's things that some Christians need to deal with, I pray they would. Not put it off and not wait. Not wait to see if I hit it. The Holy Spirit's already hit it. I pray they'd be sensitive to the still small voice of God. And God, if there's someone in here who might not be saved, pray to make it real easy for them to see that that's the most important thing that needs to be dealt with tonight. Father, if any of those things can happen, we'll thank You and give You the glory for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Let's remain here with our heads bowed. Eyes closed for a few minutes. As we said, as the brother said, we prayed and fasted this week. Some of us, a lot of us probably. I wonder if you asked the Lord to deal with you about that which you need to be dealt with. Some folks at it already. If you need to come, why don't you come? If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you heard a straight, clear message tonight. I like that. We don't have a promise about getting home tonight. We do have promises for eternity, though. And you know, folks, I've known for 40 years now that I'm saved. go through all that time perfectly clear, perfectly pure. But it's been a long time since I worried about whether I was saved or not. If you don't know for yourself, you need to know. Why don't you come? You must be born again. Jesus Christ paid the entire price, an eternal price, to make it simple, to make it easy. Why don't you come? I'm guessing that most folks in our church here tonight, in fact I know it, are saved. I'm glad for that, really am. I'm glad Brother Spurgeon pointed out tonight that one of the great callings that we have is not only to no longer be separate from the world, folks, but we have to be exceptions among Christians. We have to be exceptions among folks that sometimes call themselves fundamentalists. Is still open, but let's open our hymn books, number 276, and stand. If the Lord's still dealing with your heart here tonight, folks, I wish there was some clerical closet we could call you into where you would be guaranteed to make things right with God, but there's not. It's between you. I mean, we preach all the time, it's a personal relationship between you and your Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to make things right at this altar in your heart, with your sins and with your righteousnesses. And I hope you will tonight if you haven't already. 276.
Depart from Amen.
I'm glad you guys are all here tonight. There are several visitors. We appreciate you being here. Hope you'll come back tomorrow, 7 o'clock again. Amen. We'll do pretty much the same thing, but he won't be preaching the same message. I'm relatively certain of that, just so you know. All right, we're going to have a word of prayer. Brother Darling, would you close us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we heard already tonight. And it's pretty hopeless. Even extends a mind. And you bring us all back. Some others as well tomorrow. And you save them traveling. And thank you again, Father, for your love toward us. For caring enough to send somebody by. And give us the word of God. Not just every Sunday and Wednesday, but several nights now. We look forward to that.
Yeah.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for coming.